we are not going to lose.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just have a moment of silent reflection. Welcome to the meeting, and be aware that this meeting is being recorded, is duly posted, and it may appear on the internet. Recognitions.
Okay. As you know, New Hampshire had several designations for schools that were struggling over the years. They had the CINI and the DINI, the school in need of improvement, the district in need of improvement. Then the acronyms and names changed over the years, and the high school was formally recognized as a priority school. So Mr. O'Rourke has some information, if you don't mind sharing.
So, got a phone call on Friday from the Department of Education, basically letting us know that we have satisfied all requirements under Priority SIG School, and they're releasing us as a school that needs to do anything with any of their requirements. There are 21 focus schools in the state and 19 SIG, which was the school in need of improvement, and slash priority schools. There's 19 of those schools. Five schools that were focus are being released, and only three schools that were SIG priority school are being released. We're being released because of our data, because of the data which shows the decrease in dropout rate, increase in graduation rate, improvement in SAT scores, and a few other pieces of data. So we are being released from those requirements. However, we have an opportunity that has been given to the schools that are being released. So if we choose to attend the quarterly meetings, we don't have to do any of the required reporting that the other schools are going to have to do. But if we choose to stay with the DOE for the rest of this school year, there's an opportunity for us to utilize around $20,000, maybe more, for sustainability to continue our stuff throughout the year. And then at the end of this year, that won't be an option either. We'll just be done and out. So regardless of being released, we can stay under the priority umbrella and utilize some money this year to kind of sustain some of the things we've done over the years. All the schools that are being released have that opportunity. So I'm not 100% sure of the actual dollar amount. I was told around 20,000, but then I was also told it could be more. So going into, you know, the new ESSA regulations, it looks pretty good for us.
Do we have to apply for that or no. Just show up?
Just show up.
Show
up at the quarterly meeting. So We have to let the DOE know tomorrow if we're choosing to just be done completely, not accept any more money and be out, or if we're going to accept being out, but yet we're going to stay with them for the rest of the year and take the advantage of some of the money they're willing to give us. If we do that, we have to attend, I think if there's three more quarterly meetings that are all in Keene. So
what's your recommendation?
Well, Jim and I. Jim and I. Joey Nichols called me first, but she loves Jim so much she wanted to be the person to tell him. So I said, "Go ahead, go for it." And so Jim and I had about a 9-second conversation about whether or not we keep the designation or keep involved for the rest of the year because we have ESSA coming up, the new regulation, and if there's some funding that might help us start off on the right foot with that, it would be pretty hard to walk away from that. So we've made the decision we're going to stick it out for the rest of the year. These guys can attend the quarterly meetings, yep. And if anything, I think they'll be sharing some of the things that they've done that has led Hillsborough Dearing High School out of the spot that they were in. Right. And so congratulations.
Yeah, way to go.
How many years, Jim, has it been?
Seven
years.
Well, and it was three as a SIG school, and then when No Child Left Behind, the waiver went through, all the schools that were a SIG school automatically had to become a priority or focus school. So that's why it's taken this long to do it, because once you're in, there's certain time frame for the grants and everything else to be released, and we're in that seventh year of.
Great.
Well, that's a lot of teamwork.
Yes.
Yeah. Building a faculty that had the mindset of improvement and change in the culture there. So,
yep, definitely.
Congratulations again, Jim.
And it's nice to give the state a little credit for kicking in some dollars. We get on them when they take it away from us, so we should applaud them when they give it to us, and that's been really helpful.
Is this new money, or have they given us money all along as part of the designation?
We haven't received more than whatever the Title I set aside is.
Okay.
So for the last 2 years, we've only received $10,000. But we received $10,000 each year, and we've utilized that money for our freshman transition program from 8th to 9th grade, which has been pretty successful.
Cool.
Prior to that, we got a significant amount of money. So what they've done is they've looked at all the schools that were given a significant amount of money, and they haven't used it all going into the priority focus school. So those schools had to give that money back. And now they're looking to disperse it to the schools that have spent their money wisely or have spent it to make improvements. And now that's where this money's coming from.
Oh, cool.
How much, just ballpark, was the first year?
$536,000.
So that's a big credit to the state.
That's a good, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is your seventh year, and it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
So commend the teachers also.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other recognitions, correspondence,
nope.
Presentations?
No. Nope.
Public comment, an opportunity for the public to share an idea or concern, limits to 5 minutes, and we are not obligated to respond. Yes?
I'm representing the public. A couple of things. Actually, I have some notes here.
Could you give your name to our secretary, please?
Yes. Janet Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. So a couple of things. One, on the high school issue, one thing I wanted to mention was one of the real estates at Zillow had the old high school number as like a really bad number. It was like down at a 1. I got that updated a couple of weeks ago because I was really tired of seeing that with all the hard work that's been done here. So it's now listed as 5 instead of a 1, which is like somebody had mentioned last week about hitting it out of the ballpark. I think that's hitting it out of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. That large of a percentage increase, so.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. We've been talking about that for years, trying to get that done. That's
very
great.
I'm very good at being a squeaky wheel, as you're going to see in a few minutes. The other thing is that, in case you don't know, that last week I actually had the flu and I was really bored, so I listened to your entire school board meeting for 4 hours.
So, wow.
I don't know whether that's what gave me the flu or what. But you should know that your audio gets truncated at the beginning. The first hour was missing off of that audio recording. But luckily, whoever takes the minutes for this meeting, whoever does an excellent job, I want to commend you. The minutes, it's an unbelievable job having to transcribe 4 hours worth of stuff. So I appreciate that. Some of us really do appreciate that.
Write that down, Megan. I just told it to write that down.
Write down.
That's
what you
know. Minutes, maybe. I'm going to just talk about a couple of things because it would go over 5 minutes. I just want to make a couple of comments. In the meeting from last week, one of the things that was talked about was testing motivation on the SBACs. And I can understand that to a point that kids that, you know, they're going to take these tests, it's like whatever, 8 hours long, spread over a couple of days, and it's just, you know, horrible. And for them, what's in it? It doesn't count to their grade, it doesn't count to graduation, it doesn't count to anything, right? So human nature is that it's difficult to want to do well on a test where you have no skin in the game, essentially. But one of the things, now I don't know, which one is Nancy? Nancy, you had made a comment about some of the PTAs around the state or do this like motivational thing, mm-hmm. where they give kids positive motivation to do well on the test. Mm-hmm. I actually went and I started doing a little bit of research about like where that's done and what the results they get. And I have just a couple of things I wanted to share. Is there are some places in the country that actually do like cash reimbursements to kids to like come in and take the test and do well on the test. Like if you get below above a certain percentage, which would seem vaguely distasteful to me. It's sort of like bribing the kids to do well. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, I thought, well, you know, I mean, why not? I mean, it's not something that I necessarily approve of or disapprove of. It's just something I want to put on the table about incentives. You know, somebody had mentioned negative incentives. I'm not sure that negative incentives are a great thing. I think positive incentives, even if it's at a collective level with a class, like you get a, I don't know, a class trip or something. Just something to think about in terms of incentivizing. Because one of the interesting things that they said was, and I thought this was very interesting, is that what the positive incentive, like the cash incentive did was, it made kids just go back and double check the answers on the test. It made the biggest difference on the simplest questions on the test because they at least took the time to go back and like look at the questions again, mm-hmm. you know. Anyway, just a thought, not saying I necessarily like approve of that, but and just a few questions when they take these, the SBACs, are they allowed to use scrap paper for the math test? Does somebody, scrap paper is handed out to them, like for the
they're
math?
They're not on certain sections.
Depends on a section.
Depends on where
it's,
you're
it's very regimented.
Okay, in the math test.
They're allowed to on certain sections on the test booklet, but again, we have to return everything.
Right, at the end, because I went and read the instructions from the SBAC, because I was just concerned about, because my background is in math. I've been a computer scientist and a math person, so it's sort of like when I see the math, bad math scores, it really is... So the other thing is, do they get a chance to do some practice SBACs ahead of time, like the interim SBACs? Or I know that you have like Star 360 this year, but do they actually get a chance to do the actual format of that SBAC?
There was the, not necessarily the questions per se, but just the procedures, because it is on like where the calculator comes up on the screen, and how do you highlight a passage, because that's all online. So we go through that, you know, once or twice, especially the first year, 3 years ago, we spent a great deal of that, and now the students are coming up, they're used to that, but we still, if you want to call it an orientation, just to refresh
to
it.
To refresh it, because that's one of the things I found, because I went and I took the math SBAC just to see what it was like, and it's... even for somebody with a math background, the user interface is very, very different. You know, you have to do these like block drawings of lines, and you know, it's just different. So as long as they do get a feel for the mechanism of it.
I don't think people understand the rigor of it and just all the moving parts associated with that.
Yes.
And so thank you for going on there. And,
Okay,
I'm going to focus this back. Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Because we have to try to keep
it
timed up.
Yeah, I know. Cut me in 5 minutes.
It's already five.
All
right. It's a little over five, but that's okay.
All right. Okay.
Do you have major points?
I do. Okay.
Just do them bullet style, and it'll be great.
All right. The curriculum does. When the switch to Common Core was made, was there any review done of curriculum?
Oh yes. Oh, not any questions.
Yeah, just answer questions.
Yes. All right. Yes.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then one other thing in terms of the school ranking. So the elementary school is still. I went and printed out a couple of things from School Digger on the pattern, right? And unfortunately, the elementary school still shows a flat line from like 2006 to today, which kind of shows like that it's really hasn't made any progress in like 10 years. But what I did was that I went and looked at another school in the state, a public elementary school, a non-charter school, and their chart looks like this. And this is the New Franklin School in Portsmouth. They're a demographically challenged school. They're like 30% free lunch, and they're like a 19% IEP. So not as, you know, not the same demographic as Hillsborough, but it's not, it, you know, it's significant. And somehow they've managed to like really, really go up like a lot. And I'm just wondering like what they've done. And if anybody, just as like an example, if anybody
What was the website?
School Digger. We're very familiar with School Digger. Not our favorite reporting agency. The Department of Education has the most accurate information. School Digger is an organization that chooses to take the DOE information and crunch it into the data format that they like to use.
Yeah.
I know this is public.
Yeah, go
comment,
for
but,
it.
It's one of those things that we look at every single thing you've said to a point of insanity sometimes. We crunch all the data that School Digger does. We look at all of the strands, all of the different areas of curriculum, how our kids are doing in each different area, and we try to adapt that to change how we do instruction. And we've been working at it a long time, and we've made strides in some places, and we've gone backwards in others. But your answer is yes. I wouldn't use School Digger. I'd use the Department of Ed.
Okay,
or
I did look at the Department of Ed. Though. Yeah. They don't have the latest scores. They only go up to like 2014. If you're talking to the state website.
The Department of Education's website, they're the only ones that can technically release the actual information. So if there's anything that's beyond what the DOE has, then they've got information that the Department of Ed doesn't have, and that would be pretty strange.
Okay, I didn't find the latest information on their website.
They're usually a year behind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But from what I can see, these graphs are just based on the standardized test scores with the old kneecaps and the current SBACs. Yeah. And I think that's all they used to create this graph.
No, it's definitely worth
looking into. Anyway, all I'm saying is the New Franklin School in Portsmouth has done something right, and, you know, just as a you know, maybe a possible model.
Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for doing that research. John, do you have anything to say?
I do.
Go for it.
I want to applaud you on changing your public comment to allow 10 minutes or so on the letter. I haven't prepared 10 minutes today. I hope in the future when I do have
I did a careful analysis of our agenda, and it was 15% less heavy than it has been normally, so I was careful about that.
Anyway, like I said,
go for it, John.
And I do have something important. Yep. I wanted to express my concern on the nepotism part of the board member policy. I really think that it doesn't pass the smell test. Going from a policy that does not allow one to one that says you can have nepotism, it just doesn't seem right, and doesn't. I urge you to abandon that change. Also, had concern having just noticed your enrollment figures here. It looks like this year with 5 kindergarten kids, we've got about 10, 11 kids per class in the kindergarten in particular. And that's just, I mean, that seems an awful lot. You know, I mean, 15, you know, fine. But 10, we can't be affording that at space with the way the parent rates have gone up. So I urge you to maybe consider a change to that. And looking at the number of preschool students and how low that is, probably could be looking when you get budget time at increasing, because there'll be currently less kids coming in next year also. I mean, I realize you can't always predict, but you certainly shouldn't be hiring the extra teachers until September, the numbers are way up. And I think that's all I have to say today.
Okay, thank you, John. Any response to what John was saying? John, you said 11? I'm looking at 66 for 5 teachers, is that right?
Right, which comes to, 12?
13. 13.2.
Still seems like a little
heavy. I would just note they're smaller classes, and one, this is a response to the numbers as I'm seeing it now. And knowing what we know about, you know, our elementary school, to have a little bit lower ratio in those kindergarten and first grades would seem to be constructive.
Well,
from an academic standpoint, anyway.
We've had low classes before, and it hasn't affected our test scores. So, you know, if you show me next year or 2 years from now that those kids' test scores are way up, I will apologize and drink the Kool-Aid. I haven't seen it happen yet when we've had that happen.
So. Okay. Your comment is noted. Any other responses to... To John?
Bob? If this one is on board, all set. Yeah. I just want to thank Ms. Byron for coming tonight and sharing the information and your concerns. 5 minutes, I don't think we did justice by responding to. You had many questions on there, you had many bits of information. There's a lot to cover in that, and I would encourage you to make an appointment with myself, with the curriculum instruction, Dr. Johnson, any of the three principals, to answer any of those questions more in depth, because in 5 minutes I don't think we could address all those things. And I particularly want to thank you for Zillow, because that has been a discussion at this table for years. There were things on there that were 8 years old, 10 years old, and Zillow was not bringing them down.
The problem is, and that is so public to people. That is how people see our town from the outside.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Now, we also have, when we have a meeting, I have a very interesting graphs I can show you all.
Okay. We'd love to have that conversation.
Okay.
So, please call.
Any other public comment? Okay, board discussion items. Policy committee. Do you want to talk about these, Chris, or do you want to do double duty?
Yeah, if you want to lead, I can kind of pick up on that.
Okay, we've got several policies that are in the package, and I'll take them one at a time. First one is JICFA, which is a hazing policy. And it is a required by law policy that we've taken a look at before, and then it got changed again. And the changes were basically made in response to Chapter 631, Section 631.7 of Title 62, just to expand on what hazing is all about. Mm. And that's what that second paragraph is in JICFA. As you know, hazing has been for many years a topic of focus in all schools. Any questions on that?
And it was pretty much, I mean, it was the adopted, it's what the School Board Association was suggesting as well, so, and we kind of looked at it too, and, you know, went back and forth on what the definition was. You know, it just kind of adds a little bit to the definition. I mean, and I don't think it limits as far as, you know, it's just talking about private organizations that are connected to the school, you know, just basically said the, you know, extending the school policy the way it is now. Kind of covering all bases, so it's not meant to exclude anyone from it.
Anything else on that one? IHAMA, which is teaching about alcohol, drugs, and tobacco. We changed guidance to counseling just to be in tune with our own vocabulary here. When we looked at the sample policy from NHSBA, it's another one that's required by law, and in these days of opioids and everything else, it's important.
We have contracted with counselors for the high school and middle school, right? For certain grades of
that's correct. School. Substance abuse program.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anything changed, or we're just saying?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Impact of those.
I don't have documentation to measure it yet, but that's a hard thing to measure. But certainly the youth risk behavior survey might be an indicator the next time it's around. It's every other year, Jim, that you're the youth risk behavior survey. So that would be a good resource, Paul. Yeah. Thank you.
And at some point, Mark and Jim might update us on how that program is integrated into middle and high school.
Yeah, we'll volunteer them for that.
What's that?
We'll volunteer them.
We'll volunteer for that.
We'll volunteer them.
Good, at some point.
We'll put that as a presentation.
This is the first reading on this policy, Steve, I think, too.
It's
yes.
Yeah.
First reading, yeah, so this will come up two more times. Connected, though, we have a revision to IHAM. And
it's more about bringing it up to modern times, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
There was nothing that stuck out at it. That's
yeah. And it's connected with
like means of communication, pretty much like, you know, including different ways the school can reach out.
The bold print is always what the changes have been, and it's just expanded. These were all seen pretty unanimously at policy committee as reasonable. Anything on IHAM? And ILD, which is our non-educational surveys, and this includes the youth risk behavior survey that we've talked about in the past.
That's the one that we had some controversy on because...
On the opt-out or opt-ins?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if it's non-educational, it seems like you've got to opt-in. If it's educational, that's one thing. This clearly says non-educational.
Right. The committee, and I think the people behind us and the School Boards Association as well, see that particular youth risk behavior survey as so critical for both for data and also for funding possibilities, that they see that as an exception, which is why it's highlighted in this particular policy. Any other discussion on that beyond all that we've had before? Okay. ILDA.
That's just the idea of repeal because we're putting the other one, the previous one in place.
We are, yeah. ILDA, we can repeal once we pass the other one, we can repeal ILDA.
Right. Yeah, so we have to do the first one first. Yeah.
We have to sequence that.
ILD has to be first.
Right. Yeah, there is no substitution for ILDA. And then BCB is the one that John referred to about board member conflict.
I think it opens up opportunities certainly for the district, where certainly it's not prohibiting if there's a situation where someone's well qualified, you know, for a position, that, you know, they're hired into the position based on their qualifications, not necessarily based on who they're related to. And especially in a small town where there can be a lot of different connections to family members, you know, the association seems to think that they could kind of do away with the old wording and update this one. And it was supported by the legal references. So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily saying that they're going to allow it. They're just basically opening up, opening it up opportunity-wise and focusing more on, you know, merit. Does that person, you know, is that person qualified for the position? And do people feel that person's adequate for the job, and letting the interview committee kind of make that decision.
And it does dictate transparency. It does dictate that.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Well, I guess my problem is, you know, I thought it was good the way it was worded before. I'm just wondering, you know, if somebody's wife or somebody wanted to get a job here, the school board member has the right to resign. You know, you wouldn't have a conflict of interest. But I mean, you know, I know we all hate to give up that $1,000 we get a year for a $50,000 job, but you know, but I, you know, I just I don't think I can support this at all. I would support the old view much better.
I think the other thing to note, though, too, I mean, we're all focused on the nepotism part came up in the public comment, but it also, it's board member conflict of interest policy, so it kind of defines when a board member might have a conflict of interest and kind of puts the responsibility back on us as board members as well, too, you know, different situations, right. You know, in terms of making judgment calls and just kind of bringing that to the forefront.
So would a conflict of interest be if I said I don't think the board should have returned $289,000 extra dollars after 30 June, is that a conflict of interest?
It's a conflict of opinion. No, I think Chris highlighted what the theory behind this is. In small towns, there's limited numbers of volunteers, and this, you know, and this does still give the opportunity to deny employment. It doesn't mean it's necessary. And I think going back in the past, because board members have come on after spouses or relatives have been employed, and I don't think we've had any major challenges with that. Board members just recuse themselves from relevant discussions.
In that case, public knew elected somebody.
So that's pretty much where we are.
Well, if someone were to apply for a position, most of the people, you know, that would be looking at those applications are going to know if there's anyone else that works in the district related to that person as well as on the board and can make a decision and so forth and kind of leave it in the hands of, you know, between that person and the people hiring as well as the board member, you know, in terms of how they're going to move forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are obviously salient points on each side of the argument, so we just have to decide which way we come down. Other questions on that one? Okay. That's the policies. On the matter of SAU rent, we could, as we discussed at the SAU meeting, we're in a contract that increases the rent $5,000 a year. It's been mentioned that it might be a possibility to freeze the rent for a year in order to, basically based on the relative impact of the rent on the SAU budget and the Hillsborough-Deering budget, knowing that 80-some percent of it is one pocket into the other. We could put that out there. I know it's something that Rich mentioned before he went away that he would be in favor of, and I also tend to think that this is a year in which that might be appropriate. Because financially, Hillsborough-Deering and the SAU are so close, the dollar impact is minimal.
Do you think it would be the extra $5,000?
Any thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, I think I'm in support of that too. I mean, I think it's good because then we're not taking it away, so we're still showing that transfer. You know, since, you know, there's Washington, which isn't connected, you know, well, it's connected, but it's a separate budget. So, I mean, it's still nice to kind of have that placeholder, if you will. But at the same time, we're sort of doing what we're intending to do and hopefully easing the burden a little bit while still sort of having that as a place in the budget.
Nancy?
I agree.
Yeah. This is a change for you too, right? I thought, I guess my problem is that, you know, we started at 5,000 artificially low, way low, 10,000 artificially low. And the agreement was we'd get up to 50,000 and stop there. We weren't going up to 100,000 or anything. But I think we should honor that original agreement where we said we're going to 50,000. Once we get there, you know, even if, say, the average is 30,000, Washington and Windsor have already caught a break because we started at 5,000, 25,000 be halfway. So we're kind of making up now what we gained before. We were going to jump right to 40, 50,000 first year, but we said, well, that's a lot for, might be a lot for their budgets. But so we started at 5,000, gradually went up. But, you know, we've given them a break in past years. So now we're just catching up. It's not like we're gouging them now. We're just making up for what we didn't get before, really, a little bit at a time.
There's a connection here. At the SAU level, there was talk about the strategic plan, which I think a number of us feel is overdue. Mm-hmm. And it was felt that the SAU is probably the best spot for the strategic plan. The strategic plan costs some money, which would put a, in terms of percentages, a disproportionate percentage hike on the SAU budget in this particular year. And there was thoughts about, you know, should the SAU do the strategic plan, or should Hillsborough Dairy do the strategic plan? And I think that one way of looking at it is that the SAU can do it in its comprehensive plan for Washington, Windsor, and Hillsborough Dairy. And we're using a lot of the SAU resources because Patty would be the person who would be the chair of that planning process. And by doing this, we just cushion the blow in the SAU budget slightly while HD picks it up, as opposed to having the SAU say, no, we can't do the strategic plan because it won't pass the public. Hillsborough Dairy should do the strategic plan because $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 won't impact Hillsborough Dairy's budget to the same degree. So that would be my rationale to support this, because I think the strategic plan is a crucial step right now as we look at school improvement.
Can I say your microphone is going in and out, and you covered this microphone? Oh,
I'm worried
about that.
I apologize.
It's okay. I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Say what?
They're recording.
For those who did not hear me, I highlighted the direct connection between strategic planning and this particular rent item.
Right. Mm. And I also very much think that strategic planning is overdue and required, and $5,000 for, you know, for supporting that, I think is money well spent.
It keeps it more, just to add on to that too, I mean, it keeps it just as rent, as an SAU issue, since it's something that will affect the entire school administrative unit, whereas rent is across the board as well, even though Hillsborough Dairy is a major portion of that. It just kind of keeps the lines, you know, straight, if you will. You know, but yeah, I think everyone will benefit from that. So I mean, I think that's a good rationale in terms of freeing it up so that we can help make that strategic plan happen.
Any other thoughts on that? You might have a motion on that when we get to action items.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, great. So. Superintendent's report.
Okay, I'd like to, first of all, I want to thank Carol because we received an email from Paul asking for the enrollment numbers. And I talked to Carol about it, and she said, oh, I already ran them off. Paul asks every year around this time for them, so she was already anticipating that. So I asked her also, because a lot of times the discussion that follows is, where are we at with the staffing history? So on the first page, you have the current enrollment numbers. And on the second page, you have the staffing history for people that want to see if there's a direct correlation there. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But if you just were to take a look at the high of 2014-15, we had 1,218 students, and we had 215.6 full-time employees, FTEs. And in 17-18, we have 1139, and we're down about 11.4 teachers or employees in that. So I think when you do the math on that, you'll find there is somewhat of a correlation. And I want to just say, as far as the class size ratios, a very big piece of class size ratios is we have approximately 24% of our kids are identified as having special needs. And that's higher than the state average. It's higher than a lot of districts. And I think we do a really good job of keeping children that have challenges in our district, in our buildings, with their neighbors and friends. And sometimes some of the kids may offer a little more challenge to a teacher. And the smaller we can keep the class size, the more attention everybody's going to get. So I know that is a balance of the cost versus the quality of the education. But that's my two cents on that. We have an overnight field trip. I know I'm skipping one here, but I have a note to myself. But also in there, it's not listed here, we have some police coverage waivers. So the overnight field trip is to MIT. I believe they went on the same trip last year. Very, very successful to have our National Honor Society kids go and see MIT. I had the great fortune of growing up in Cambridge with Harvard and BC and BU and Northeastern and Tufts, Babson, Bentley, and all those other places. So I think it's really neat that the kids get to go and see something that's very different than this nice little bubble that we live in Hillsboro. So it was a very big success last year. And the two police coverage is of the police waiver. I believe this was both high school, Jim. Breakfast with Santa, and that's Sarah Paquette National Honor Society. And the other one is Business and English Departments, Families with Children. And that's Alex, Sarah Paquette, Alex, Carla Lucia, Bob D'Errico. Sarah Paquette, Alex, and Carla will be chaperoning this, as I'm sure probably one of my administrators. So as far as waiving the police coverage, I think it makes a lot of sense.
You got to volunteer, Jeff.
I don't have to volunteer. They would have been. The appointments, leaves, and resignations are relatively short and straightforward. They're in your packet. And if any questions?
Business?
I'll go on to the business administrator's report if there are no questions.
Okay, I've included the financial statement for September, and also my report of both transfers that were less than $5,000 for the month. I think everything's pretty straightforward at this point.
Could you just, on the monthly statements, just give a snapshot of what that actually is? I know it's a naive question, but the revenue that comes in is what came in the particular month?
Yeah, the MTD column is the month to date. The revenue that comes in during the month.
Right.
The year to date is from July 1st through the end of this period, which would be September 30th. The budget number is what was presented to the public and to the state on the reporting forms. And then the balance to collect is just the difference between year-to-date and the budget. And what I'm going to do is, for instance, I just recently received a revised, I think, adequacy aid estimate for the year. So as I get information like that, I'll adjust that balance to collect so we aren't so if we don't anticipate collecting the full budgeted amount, it will be reflected in the monthly report. Yeah. So I think the big surprise last year was tuition. So when we do our first semester tuition bills, we'll project out. And when we do our December report, any fluctuations in tuition income would be reflected in this balance to collect. And then when we do the second semester is in June or July, but if I know that there's any significant movement, then I would adjust it there. So then the expenses, it's the same concept. It's your monthly expenses, your year-to-date expenses, the budget that was voted on, and And then the encumbrances that we have, we encumber all of our salaries and benefits right from the get-go. We encumber our transfers, the energy lease payment, copier payments, you know, anything, audit, anything contractual, we encumber that immediately. And then as the year goes on, the encumbrances adjust as we close purchase orders or open new ones. So that number fluctuates as well. So then the available balance is the difference between the budgeted amount, what we've already expended, and the encumbered amount.
But it's not really available, though, right? That's enough. Available balance is not a surplus.
Right.
No.
Right.
No, it's the amount that we have not encumbered and we have not spent.
Right.
So it's still available to use.
Right. So.
Question.
I mean, I can change the terminology. I thought that was what.
No.
No. I just think the word available tends to. I know as we came down the stretch last year, that's what seemed to be the confusing thing. I understand what it is. I mean, it's, you're just subtracting, and that's what's there.
What would you like it to be?
No, I guess the question is.
Not just a balance.
The question is, with supplies, we know we're going to spend a significant part of that $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's available. Why is that not considered to be encumbered?
We don't have a purchase order.
We don't have a purchase order.
So it's a formality.
Encumbrances are directly tied to the purchase orders.
It's in the budget, but
I guess what would this is nitpicking. I would just write balance, as opposed
what
to
is the
as opposed to available balance.
Okay.
Just because it's available balance.
It's your financial statement. I'll do what you.
No, I'm just saying available balance gives the impression to people that it's available and it's there and it's not. I mean, I understand what you're doing.
But
it's more
whatever you guys wish I would do.
It's. I mean, maybe I'm an outlier on that. So
it's just it's not designated for use. It is available for use. It hasn't been committed to anything.
Yeah. So
but
it's
available in that category.
Well,
yeah.
That's what was set aside initially.
Yeah. Okay.
This is what's been used. I think that it's a English teacher, math teacher kind of thing, where the wording for some people will mean something that it will mean something different to one person than to the next.
Right.
And I think a lot of people that do accounting, available balance just means what hasn't been encumbered or spent in that category. But I think what you're saying is the general public. There may be people who don't do accounting.
Right, especially with that percentage available afterwards. That's, you know, why would you have 40% of one thing available and 3% of something else available?
Right.
You know, I know the answer to that.
I know, but I saw the percentage column was added and the available balance column was added per request from the board. Again, it's your financial statement. I'll make whatever changes you want me to make to it as far as presentation goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's total semantics more than anything.
Do you want me to eliminate the percentage available?
I'll defer to other board members.
I think understanding what it is, I think it's okay with the way it is, but I can understand your point.
I just know coming down the stretch, we were trying to differentiate between what was available and what was actually going to be surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And in September and October, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But
Right.
I think that maybe going forward when we do the budget presentations that maybe then that's when we change it to a layman term, kind of.
Could be.
Terminology.
I mean, this is pretty lay, but not a major concern.
It's like available.
Question on the income. The 15,000 transportation budget and other revenue, 40,000. Where are we anticipating getting that?
I was just looking at the 40,000. I don't remember what that was budgeted in. I don't remember what it was specifically. It didn't fall into. It wasn't necessarily a miscellaneous, but it didn't fall into the state's.
Because it's the rent
category. Yeah, it is.
That's a miscellaneous.
That's the rent. The transportation is the reimbursement that we receive from the state for our vocational. Our transportation to the vocational center in Concord.
Oh, okay, what the state pays. Okay, VOTEC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, because we budgeted 40,000.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a budget transfer? Do you have a budget transfer?
I do have a budget transfer that was less than $5,000, and so by policy, not related to the employees. Yeah.
And I had one thing last on superintendents. Okay. You did get a, you should have gotten an email, as well as Carol put it in the Google Calendar. Tomorrow night is the Decker induction at the high school gym. What time is that at?
Yeah,
it's
6.
Yeah, it's 6.
Okay. So anybody who'd like to come to that is welcome to come and enjoy that. And just as long as he spoke up. Do you have anything you wish to share with us on any of the things we've talked about tonight, Lewis?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. I figured I'd try.
Next time.
Motivation on testing.
Yeah.
Students will be part of the strategic planning process, though.
Yeah.
Assuming we get that going.
We can volunteer.
On the superintendent's report, did you know that the boys soccer team won 10-0 tonight?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What do we have anything else? Do we hear on football?
Haven't heard a score of that.
And that was the senior?
Soccer was senior day.
Senior day. Nice.
Okay. Minutes of the October 2nd meeting. And there are a few typos that we've taken care of, so we don't, I don't think we need to go through typos as formal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they were extensive and very thorough minutes, as has been noted. Any questions?
I have one change, I think, under O, action items. This is page 10. If I recall, there was a motion to for the Lions Club, and then the administration or somebody had put, you know, estimated $580. I don't know if that was for custodians or what. And my amended motion was that it should be free, not a waiver up to $580. I don't know if it's going to cost more than that, but just. You know, we weren't going to charge anything, basically, was the bottom line for the Lions. And I guess the same thing was said about the Zumba class.
The discussion for the Lions was specifically that it was being waived up to 580, but if it cost more than the estimate that was on there, that we would revisit it.
I was just going to say the same thing. I think, we put a cap on it, figuring that that's about what it was going to be. You know, that they probably won't go over 580, but if it does.
So you want to make them pay over 580?
Well, hopefully. It didn't seem like they don't have it in front of me. I don't think it's going to.
Lee said it was significantly less.
Yeah, it was. 580 was more than enough to cover it.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Well, the 580 was for what, custodians? Or?
Yeah. What it would have cost.
I think Paul makes a good point, though. I think that going forward, we could. For language purposes going forward, say free. I don't think we need to undo this, but I think going forward, using the language of saying that it would be at no cost to the Lions Club.
That was the intention.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it's for clarity purposes, the next time we'll just word the motion that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good, Paul?
Sounds good.
On that section, and this is more technical, number 7, there was a motion that Chris made, and I don't think that motion passed until number 9, because the motion was made, and then there was a motion to amend, and the motion to amend was defeated, and then I said, let's go back to the original motion. I didn't make the motion. I said, let's go back to the original motion has not amended, essentially.
Right.
And we voted it.
Well, 8 and 9 shouldn't be,
3-1.
Maybe it should be 8 and 9, like B and C.
So it should read number 7 without motion being passed.
Right.
So I would entertain a motion to just strike motion past 301.
Right.
And then number nine. All I said was the motion is back on the table. I didn't make another motion at that point.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to friendly amendment. If someone lost a second.
Do you understand?
What is nine going to say?
It's a semantics thing, I think.
Nine would say that Chris's motion to approve the retained balance.
Right.
It would just strike my name out. Chris Barber's motion to approve the retained balance.
Yeah, to Robert's rules. The motion was open. We were discussing it. We made pause. And then
right.
Then we actually had the vote on the final one.
But it wouldn't be, and it wouldn't say as amended at the end of that. Because it's the original motion.
And I wouldn't second
it. And you wouldn't have to second it again.
Right,
exactly. So could somebody
make a motion? I made the motion.
You with us, Nancy?
Yes, I'm sorry. What?
You second that motion?
Yeah, sure.
Megan, are you on board with all of this?
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to make those changes. Are there any questions on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes 4-0. Any other amendments to the minutes?
On page 8, Lisa Braderman.
Yeah, I corrected that as part of the typos.
Right.
You're out of the room. I said there's some typos that we just corrected.
You read what those were? Or you just...
Lisa's name, Merchant Bank, principal spelling, Hopkinton without a G,
Is it Merchant Bank or Merchant Bank?
Merchant. What else was there? I think that was it. Were there any others here, Megan? Nothing substantive. Oh, site. CITE as opposed to, it was SITE as opposed to CITE. Okay, all in favor of the minutes as...
Do we need a motion?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion.
Already. Okay.
Oh, did we?
For the corrections, yes.
Okay. For the minutes, yeah.
All right. I didn't know if we did. Maybe we did.
Chris has made a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
I seconded.
Nancy has seconded that. Any discussion? All in favor?
As amended.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Passes 4-0. Okay. Back to public comment. Another opportunity without repeating anything that we said before, but you are entitled to expand if you have other items that you'd like to address. John?
The hazing policy?
Yeah.
Previously, at a previous meeting, concerns were raised about the that prohibiting people from being in a secret organization. I don't think you can do it under a right assembly in the First Amendment. I believe this was, went back to the
It did.
And when you spoke about it, as policy members, nobody mentioned that. So I'm curious if you would...
Do I take that, Chris?
Yeah, I remember that we did have that discussion. I'm trying to remember how it would, I mean...
It was basically reaffirmed,
yeah.
And Jim might be able to back me up, that this is in line with statute.
Right. That's what I was recognizing, yeah.
Right.
I mean, Rory Bohannon, who was on that committee as well, was there, and he he looked it up too and was confirmed that it's in line with statute, that we weren't overstepping by any means. We're just putting out, it was a general, it's a general procedure for what we need to have for the school.
What was the committee vote on that?
Unanimous.
Unanimous?
Yeah. Anything else, John?
No.
Any other public comment? Okay, thank you. Any further response to public comment? Seeing none, we can move on to action items. And I will entertain a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations as in the packet.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 4-0. We do the overnight field trip and then police waivers separately, I guess.
Yep.
All right. The overnight field trip to MIT, I'll accept a motion on that one.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes 4-0. And the police waivers?
Breakfast with Santa and Halloween Carnival.
Okay, for Breakfast with Santa on Saturday, December 9th, and the Halloween Carnival on Friday, October 27th, from 6 to 8.
I'll make that motion to waive for the police waivers.
No.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes 4-0. You need a signature?
I just got to date it.
Okay. Anything on SAU rent?
16.
Actually, well, story. I'll make the motion, if you want to help me with the wording of it too, to the, basically we're keeping the SAU rent where it is. What was it of?
Right. Make the motion to suspend any increase in the SAU rent.
Thank you.
This year for 1 year to be revisited next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a comment.
Is there a second to the motion?
Do you want a second? Or you can make it.
I don't care.
Either way, Nancy and I.
Nancy made the motion and Chris a second. Now discussion. Paul?
Yeah, I just think this is kind of unusual that once we've set an agreement with Washington Windsor that we would change it before we reach the end of the agreement, which is 2 years away, I believe. And also, I kind of think we should wait for Rich to come back, for the chairman to have a voice in this. I mean, there's no rush to do this. So.
Rich actually proposed it before he left.
Oh.
So.
You'd still wait for him to be on the record.
You could.
Rich also shared his sentiments with me too, Paul.
Yeah.
That he approves the sentiment of the rest of the board. Yeah.
He did mention it to me, and because the SAU budget is going to be dealt with before we have another meeting, there's a timing issue that's involved in doing it tonight rather than after the SAU budget is approved.
Well, yeah, but we're not going to. What is it, a week from Thursday we have a meeting, but that's not the final.
It's not the final, but it's probably the last time the SAU board will get together and talk about it without having a special meeting. Anyway, that's the theory on the timing, and that's why Rich left his wishes behind. Other discussion on the rent issue? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes 3-1. Okay. I will accept a motion on policy, on the revision of policy JICFA, hazing.
So moved.
Second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, to approve that policy as presented.
Yes.
Okay. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. Now accept the motion on IHAMA.
It's a first reading.
Do we have to approve a first reading? I think we do.
Yeah. So moved. The first reading.
Yeah.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes 4-0. That will come back again. I'll now accept the motion to approve the revision of policy IHAM, health education and exemption from instruction.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passes 4-0. Thank you. Now accept the motion to accept the revision on policy ILD, non-educational surveys and questionnaires.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes 3-1. Now I can accept a motion to repeal policy ILDA.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on repeal of ILDA? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Motion passes 3-0-1. And now I'll accept a motion to approve policy BCB on board member conflict.
So moved.
I was going to abstain, so I don't know if I can second at the same time.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I'll second.
Secondly, you don't have to vote for it. You can put it on the table.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion on policy BCB?
Just a comment.
Yeah.
It seems like we're combining a couple things. We're combining nepotism for one thing, and we're talking about a conflict of opinion, and with nepotism, which is two different issues. And it seems strange that they would be in the same policy. I don't agree with either one, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because if the policy is voted down, then it would have to go back, and it might come forward as two different policies. That's quite possible.
Yeah.
Any further discussion on that? Okay, so all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions?
Me.
2-1-1. Does that mean a pass? Mm-hmm. I guess that's a pass. Policy passes 2-1-1.
Majority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay, any other business at this point before we go into a non-public on RSA 91A, Section 3, Roman number 2, subsection E?
Can we take a break, please?
Take a break.
We can take a break before we'll take a break and then we'll come back and vote to go into non-public.
Okay.
We'll entertain a motion to go into non-public, as I said before, under section RSA 91A:3, Roman numeral 2, subsection E.
So moved.
Second.
Could I have the roll, please? You're just supposed to call out our names.
Yeah, doesn't have to be in the order, right? Yeah.
Or I could call it the names if you'd like.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Just want to make sure I get everybody. Okay. Stephen Hong?
Yes.
Paul Platter?
Yes.
Chris Walber?
Yes.
Nancy Egner?
It's me.
Okay.
That's it?
No, that's it.
That's it.
That's good.
Beautiful.
Do we have to reflect that? Well, I guess Rich is not here, anyways.
Yeah, doesn't matter. And because this is something that's threatened, it's something that's threatened in writing or filed, this is my Freedom of Information request to see those public documents. Okay. So, presumably, that's really what you're going into. It's a filing or
litigation that's been threatened in writing. So the writing or the filing is a viewable public document unless you find some other reason not to. So I will await.
No problem, John.
I've requested that Jim O'Rourke sit in if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm speaking to Steve. Okay. If you have a second, we'll give you a second to read this.
Do you want to document that note?
That's not part of the minutes. That's just the minutes.
So move.
Second.
Thank you.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Passes 4-0. Any other business? It being 7:40.
Well, four.
I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Second by Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you.